Hello, this is Pastor Vic Torres, Nuggets of Truth, podcasting from historic Hyde Park, New York. And I'm your host, Dr. Vic Torres, pastor, teacher, and author. I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity from a biblical perspective. And my focus will be on the love, forgiveness, and acceptance which is found in Jesus Christ, which in turn enables us to live victoriously. In the previous episode, we examined the key words in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And the scripture goes like this. It's for by grace we are saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And the key words that we looked at were the words grace, saved, faith, gift, works, and boast. Today, we're going to examine grace and faith as they relate to each other and how they relate to God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the word grace in the Greek is charis, from which we get charisma, which means spiritual gift. And the word grace is used throughout the New Testament and speaks to the character and the nature of God. God is a gift-giving God. James 1:17 says the following, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights." In order to see the fullness of the word grace in the New Testament, we really need to take a moment and try to understand the doctrine of the Trinity. As New Testament Christians, we believe in the mystery of the Trinity. Three persons in one God, not three separate gods. The doctrine of the Trinity is often misunderstood by some groups of people to mean that Christians believe in three separate gods: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I just read recently that there are a group of religious Jews in Israel opposed to the building of Christian churches in Israel because they believe that Christians believe in three separate gods. And of course, this concept is in direct opposition to Judaism, which believes in one God, Jehovah or Yahweh. Now, of course, those who believe that the New Testament Christians believe in three separate gods are absolutely mistaken. Now, I do have to point out that there are also a couple of groups of Christian groups that do not believe in the Trinity, and they're called non-Trinitarians. And the largest non-Trinitarian Christian group denominations are the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as Mormons, Oneness Pentecostals, and the Jehovah Witnesses. The Trinity is a spiritual concept of truth, which is impossible to understand in physical terms. The physical world we live in is what we call four-dimensional, and the law of physics apply. Our world has space, length, width, and depth. That's how space is measured. And these three can be defined as space. And the fourth dimension is the dimension of time, whether we're talking about massive mountains or subatomic particles. Everything can be measured physically. You probably learned in school that two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. And that's true because we live in a four-dimensional world. God, on the other hand, is spiritual and therefore not constrained by the laws of physics. You see, God exists in more than four dimensions. And while this fact is hard to understand because we have no experience that would help us comprehend it, you see, in the physical world that we live in, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. But in the spirit realm, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Now, the best thing that we can do is try to use analogies, try and describe the Trinity. For instance, water. It can exist as ice, it can exist as liquid water, or steam. All three in one, that's water. Another example or analogy is that a man can be a son to his mother, a husband to his wife, and a father to his child, but he's still only one person. And of course, how about the three-leaf clover example? Three leaves, but one plant. Now, these examples really don't do justice to the truth of the Trinity, because the Trinity is called a mystery of faith. Now, let's look at those two words, mystery and faith. The word mystery in a biblical sense means something hidden until the right time to be revealed by God. And now, faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. That was Hebrews 11:1. And so the mystery of the Trinity is revealed by faith. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association makes the following statement, which I've taken the liberty to repeat. And it's about the Trinity. The Bible shows very clearly there is only one God, and yet there are three personal distinctions in his complex nature, traditionally referred to as three persons in the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each is distinct from the other, but never acts independently. They are in one nature and one purpose. This mystery is called the doctrine of the Trinity, though the term is not used in the Bible. The teaching, however, is present in seed form in the Old Testament and is revealed explicitly in the New Testament in passages such as Matthew 28:18. Let me read that. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Then in John 10:29, "My Father who has given them to me," speaking of the disciples, "is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And then in 2 Corinthians 13:14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." You see? Three in one. Now, our finite minds cannot understand or explain this mystery of God, which is nevertheless a fact. We must accept the truths found in the Word of God by faith, even though we cannot ourselves comprehend them fully. So by faith, we understand. For instance, Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That evidence of that which we not see, of course, is what faith is for. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible," the physical world. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." 1 Corinthians 2:5, "That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature and not yet and not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." And so here we see there's a chasm, a gap between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And we appropriate the things in the spiritual realm by faith. Let me close this excerpt from Billy Graham's association, 1 Corinthians 2:14. "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." It's not really surprising that the infinite God should be complex in his nature, beyond the ability of finite humans to comprehend. This doctrine of the Trinity is absolutely essential to New Testament Christianity. Theologians have pointed out that if it were not true, the Bible would be unreliable. Christ would not be divine, and his death on the cross would not atone for our sins, but being merely the death of a martyr. And to sum up, as Christians, we believe in one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Now again, I recognize that the Trinity is a difficult spiritual concept, if not completely impossible to understand fully. Therefore, we have to accept it by faith. What we see in the scriptures is that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit share the same nature, same characteristics. Each person of the Godhead is omnipotent, all-powerful. Omnipresent, which means can be everywhere at the same time, not limited by space and time. And of course, omniscient, which simply means knowing everything. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are gift givers, givers of grace. Father God gave us the Son, Jesus. And we see that in John 3:16. The Son gave the Holy Spirit to all believers and ministry gifts to the church. We see that in Acts 1:8 and Ephesians 4:11. And the Holy Spirit gave spiritual gifts to the believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, what we want to do is examine in a little more detail the gift of grace of the Father, the gift of Jesus. Now, you may recall the account in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, which is found in Genesis 2 and 3. Before they sinned, they lived in a state of innocence, in relationship with God. They walked with him. When they were deceived by Satan and disobeyed God by eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this became the defining moment for sin. Sin is not simply not believing God. In essence, it's disobeying what he has said. At that moment of disobedience, sin entered the world, and mankind would now be separated, estranged from Father God. Yet because of the love of the Father for his creation, he cursed Satan and made a promise to mankind. In Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed, or offspring, and her seed, offspring," meaning the Messiah. "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This singular verse in the beginning, in Genesis, holds the hope of all mankind. In this verse 15, Father God is speaking to the serpent, Satan, and addresses his offspring as seed. And if you look in the Bible, you'll notice the lowercase s in the word seed. His head will be bruised, crushed, or destroyed. Satan's end is coming. Whereas the capitalized s in seed represents the Messiah, the Christ, or Jesus. He will be the seed or the offspring of a woman, human or incarnate. And his heel will be bruised or crushed, which represents Jesus' heel being bruised on the cross of Calvary. God the Father promised a gift, that's grace, and that gift was in the person of Jesus Christ, who would come to restore the relationship between the Father and his creation, or all of mankind. Jesus would do this by the forgiving of our sins. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 and 34, Father God makes a promise of a new covenant of grace, which will replace the old covenant of law, in which he says, "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." In the New Testament, Father God fulfilled the promise of the greatest gift of grace to all of mankind, in that he sent Jesus the Son to die for us, so that we might receive forgiveness of our iniquity, our sins, that he would remember our sins no more. In John 3:16, he states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whomever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have you received this great gift of Jesus Christ from the Father? There's no better time than right now. Now, today we looked at the gift of the Father. He gave us the Son, Jesus. Next time, we'll be looking at the gift of the Son, Jesus, as he gave the Holy Spirit to all believers and ministry gifts to the church. And then we'll look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit as he gave spiritual gifts to the church. So until then, have a blessed week. We'll see you the next time. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. If you like our show and want to know more, please check out our website at PastorVicsNuggets.com.